I remember, I think it's still 1937, yes. Go back a little bit. September 19th, 1937. Today the Lord told me, my daughter writes that it pains me very much when religious souls receive the sacrament of love merely out of habit, as if they did not distinguish this food. I find neither faith nor love in their hearts. I quote such souls with great reluctance. It would be better if they did not receive me. Neither faith nor love. Just habit. No sense about what they are doing. Jesus reluctant to come to such souls. Most sweet Jesus, set on fire my love for you and transform me into yourself. Divinize me that my deeds may be pleasing to you. May these be accomplished by the power of the Holy Communion which I receive daily. Oh, how greatly I desire to be wholly transformed into you, O Lord. Yes, the Blessed Sacrament is the transformation of ourselves. Divinize, we become Him. So this is very important, this is very serious things, not just merely outward taking communion. September 19, 1937. Today, my own brother, Stanley, visited me. I rejoiced greatly in this beautiful soul, who also intends to devote himself to God's service. That day, God Himself is drawing him to His love. We talked for a long time about God, about His goodness. During this conversation with him, I learned how pleasing his soul was to God. I received permission from Mother Superior to see him more often. He asked me my advice about entering religion, I think it's religious order, I replied, "Surely you know best what God is asking of you." I mentioned the Jesuit order, but said, "Enter wherever you like." I promised to pray for him, and I decided to make a novena to the Sacred Heart through the intercession of Father Peter Skarka, with the promise of having it announced in the Messenger of the Sacred Heart, because he is having great difficulties in this matter. I understood that in this case, prayer was more useful than advice. Yeah, many times we give many advices. But I think most important is pray for, rather than all human level. Yeah. September 21st. Having awakened several times during the night, I thank God briefly, but with all my heart, for all the graces He has given to me and to our congregation. And I reflected on His great goodness. When I received Holy Communion, I said to Him, "Jesus, I thought about you so many times last night." And Jesus answered me, "And I thought of you before I called you into being." So she said, "I remember you last night." But Jesus said, "Forever, already I remember you. Only this moment, only last night. From eternity, we are in His mind." Do you believe? Do you believe like this? Many times we forgot. We just concentrate on things of the earth, concentrating on what, we never thought that we are so beloved before the Lord. "Jesus, in what way were you thinking about me?" It's a good question, man. Because it's very theological. How? From eternity. We are in his mind. Faustina is good. It's good that she didn't study theology. Otherwise, she can just roll. St. Thomas Aquinas, say this and that and that. But how? Where? And then Jesus says, in terms of admitting you to my eternal happiness, just be all called for this happiness from eternity. That's how God is seeing us from eternity. We are all designed to be forever in his happiness. After these words, my soul was flooded with the love of God. I couldn't stop marveling at how much God loves us. Just one consideration that from eternity we are in his mind is ready the whole day. It so happened that I fell again into a certain error, in spite of a sincere resolution to do so, even though the lapse was a minor imperfection and rather involuntary, and this I felt such acute pain in my soul that I interrupted my work and went to the chapel for a while. Falling at the feet of Jesus with love and a great deal of pain, I apologized to the Lord, all the more ashamed because of the fact that in my conversation with him after Holy Communion this very morning, I had promised to be faithful to him. Then I heard these words, if I hadn't been for this small imperfection, you wouldn't have come to me. So, being used of imperfection or our sinfulness, then we come to him. Otherwise, we are proud. I'm so perfect. So, I can continue. She is working at the gate, no? I don't have to go to him. But now, something wrong. So, she rushed to the chapel. And then Jesus said, I know it. You've done these imperfections in you. You will not come to me. So many times we come to Jesus, there must be something wrong in us. We are so perfect, so we don't have to get up so early. You know, that's why we're not perfect. So we need his grace, so we come get up earlier. Is it true? Some truth. If it hadn't been for this small imperfection, you wouldn't have come to me. Know that as often as you come to me, humbling yourself and asking for forgiveness, I pour out a superabundance of graces on your soul, and your imperfection vanishes before my eyes, and I see only your love and your humility. You lose nothing but gain much love and humility when we come to the Lord, because we are on the wrong side. So how can you be proud? So humility, admitting what you have done, and with love come to Jesus. Many people are afraid to come because I'm also wrong. So we doubt whether Jesus is accepting us, so maybe he's refusing us, so why have to come? But just know, just because you're wrong, I'm waiting. This is another way of thinking. It's not human, it's very divine. The Lord has given me to know that when a soul does not accept the graces intended for it, another soul receives them immediately. So she knows that if she didn't take the grace at that moment, the graces go to another person. My Jesus, make me worthy of accepting your graces. Because of myself, I can do nothing. Without your help, I cannot even utter your name worthily. September 25th, 1937, when I learned how great are the difficulties in this whole work, I went to the Lord and said, Jesus, don't you see how they are hindering your work? Divine mercy, you can imagine. Since 1931 already this message given to her on the 22nd of February, the first message to have this image of Divine Mercy. That's 1937. Still, you see how they are hindering your work. And I heard a voice in my soul, do as much as is in your power and don't worry about the rest. Do whatever you can. Many times we cannot do many other things. Do what you can and live in God's hand. These difficulties prove that this work is mine. So true. God's work is always difficult. Only in the 7 days creation is easy, but the rest are very difficult to continue. Be at peace so long as you do all that is in your power. She cannot do much. She cannot just do anything. Today, I opened the gate for Mother Superior and knew in theory that she was going to town on business regarding the work of the Divine Mercy. It is this Superior who has contributed most to this whole work of mercy. Today, I imprudently asked 2 poor children if they really had nothing to eat at home. The children, without answering me, walked away from the gates. I understood how difficult it was for them to speak about their poverty. So I went after them in a hurry and brought them back, giving them as much as I had permission for. You just give, not ask. You need it? They go away. You just give, they take. So true, huh? Oh God, show me your mercy. According to the compassion of the heart of Jesus, hear my signs and entreaties and the tears of a contrite heart. O omnipotent, ever merciful God, your compassion is never exhausted. Although the misery is as vast as the sea, I have complete trust in the mercy of the Lord. O eternal Trinity, yet ever gracious God, your compassion is without measure, and so I trust in the sea of your mercy, and sense you, Lord, though a veil holds me aloof. May the omnipotence of your mercy, O Lord, be glorified over the world. May its veneration never cease. Proclaim my soul God's mercy from fervor. September 27, 1937. Today, Mother Superior and I went to see a certain gentleman where they were printing and painting small holy cards of divine mercy and also the invocations in the chaplet, which has already received approbation. And we were also to see the improved larger image. It very much resembles the original. This makes me very happy, this the Divine Mercy, this picture. When I look at this image, I was pleased with such a life love for God that for a moment I did not know where I was. That's her love for Jesus. Eh? When we had finished our business, we went to the Church of the Most Holy Virgin Mary. We attended Holy Mass, during which the Lord gave me to know what a great number of souls would attain salvation through this work. Then I entered into intimate conversation with the Lord, thanking him for having condescended to grant me the grace of seeing how the veneration of his unfathomable mercy is spreading. I immerse myself in a profound prayer of thanksgiving. Oh, how great is God's generosity! Blessed be the Lord, who is faithful in his promises. It is extraordinary how Mother Irene has so much light from God concerning the whole matter. She was the first to allow me to carry out the Lord's wishes. Although it was not until 2 years after the revelation that she became my superior. And despite this fact, she was the first to go with me when the painting of the image was first undertaken. And now again, when some things concerning the Divine Mercy are being published and small holy cards are being printed, again it is she who is going with me to take care of this matter. God has ordained all this in a mysterious way, because this was begun in Vilnius, and how God's will has so directed the circumstances that this matter is being continued in Krakow. I know how pleasing this superior is to God. I see how God is directing everything and wants me to be under her protection during these important times. Thank you, Lord, for such superiors who live in the love and fear of God. That is why I pray for her most of all, because she has put herself out the most for the sake of this work of divine mercy. Sister Irene, I think she was the, before she was the professed master in the Vilnius, then now she become a superior of the congregation that she was protected. So her name is Sister Irene. September 29th, 1937. Today, I've come to understand many of God's mysteries. I've come to know that Holy Communion remains in me until the next Holy Communion. Not because you digest the holes and then nothing there. Still there until the next time. For you, one whole week, Jesus remained in your soul. A vivid and clearly felt presence of God continues in my soul. The awareness of this plunges me into deep recollection without the slightest effort on my part. My heart is a living tabernacle in which the living host is reserved. In John Paul II, when she talked about Virgin Mary, she said, the Virgin Mary, the first tabernacle on earth, keeping Jesus in the womb, the first tabernacle. And this idea, that we are the tabernacle, keeping Jesus. I've never sought God in some far-off place, but within myself, it is the depths of my own being that I commune with my God. Of course, you come before the Blessed Sacrament, you come to the church to pray. But most of all the time, during the week, you are not in the church. You are in the house, working, or in the garden, in the marketplace. You are a living tabernacle. No matter what kind of work you're doing, or what type of people you're encountering, be assured. Oh my God, despite all the graces, I long without cease to be eternally united with my God. And the better I know him, the more ardently I desire him. So we don't desire him because we don't know him. Many times you say, oh, I study the catechism, I know everything. I also read the Bible every day. You know, you don't know. because you're not of heart. You don't feel his presence, the support. Many times you just, the mind, didn't go to the heart. With longing, I gaze into the starlit sky, in the sapphire of fathomless firmaments. There the pure heart leaps out to find you, O God, and yearns to be freed of the bonds of the flesh. With great longing, I gaze upon you, my homeland. When will this, my exile, come to an end? O Jesus, such is the call of your bride, who suffers agony in her thirst for you. With longing, I gaze the footprints of the saints who cross this wilderness on their way to the fatherland. They felt me the example of their virtue and their counsels, and they say to me, "Patience, sister, soon the fetters will break." But my longing soul hears not these words. Ardently it yearns for its Lord and its God, and understands the human language, because it is enamored of him alone. My longing soul, wounded with love, forces its way through all created things. It unites itself with the infinite eternity, with the Lord whom my heart has exposed. Allow my longing soul, Lord, to be drowned in your divine three-person essence. Fulfill my desires, for which I humbly beg you, with a heart brimming with love's fire. A certain person came to the door today and asked to be admitted as one of our students. But she could not be admitted, so was in great need of our house. During the conversation which I had with her, the passion of Jesus was renewed in me. When she had gone, I understood one of those serious mortifications. Nevertheless, the next time I will not let such a soul get away. For 3 days I suffered much on her account. How much I regret that our institutions are so small and that they cannot accommodate a greater number of souls. My Jesus, you know how much I grieve over every straying sheep. Oh, humility, lovely flower, I see how few souls possess you. Is it because you are so beautiful and at the same time so difficult to attain? Oh yes, it is both the one and the other. Even God takes great pleasure in her. The floodgates of heaven are open to a humble soul, and a sea of grace flows down upon her. Oh, how beautiful is a humble soul! From her heart, as from a censer, rises a varied and most pleasing fragrance, which breaks through the skies and reaches God Himself, filling His most sacred heart with joy. God refuses nothing to such a soul. She is all-powerful and influences the destiny of the whole world. God raises such a soul up to His very throne. And the more she humbled herself, the more God stoops down to her, pursuing her with His graces and accompanying her at every moment with His omnipotence. Such a soul is most deeply united with God. O humility, strike deep roots in my whole being. O virgin, most pure, but also most humble, help me to attain deep humility. Now understand why there are so few saints. It is because so few are deeply humble. Many call, few are chosen. Only humble souls are chosen. Because you open. When you're proud, you say you don't need God's help. So you close your door. God cannot work. Humble soul. Eternal God, depths of mercy, O triune holiness, yet one God, whose bosom is full of love for all, as a good father, you scorned no one. O love of God, living fountain, pour yourself out upon us, your unworthy creatures. May our misery not hold back the torrents of your love, for indeed there is no limit to your mercy, no limit. Jesus, I have noticed that you seem to be less concerned with me. Answered Jesus, yes, my child, I'm replacing myself with your spiritual director, Father Andres. He is taking care of you according to my will. Respect his every word as my own. He is the veil behind which I'm hiding. Your director and I are one. His words are my words. So this is the word of Jesus to him, no? To her. Yes, my child, I'm replacing myself with your spiritual director. So many times Jesus didn't talk to her directly. But whatever her spiritual director is to her, for Andres, is Jesus himself through this person to her. So you need a real humility to... Still, this Father Andres is a human person. If you're so proud, I see Jesus directly, and he's not. And you have to listen to him. You might think, I have more direct lights. You might not listen to the spiritual director. But humility comes from it. It's not because you have the direct lights and then you're all. God works through many other things. So thank the Lord that we have so many angels around us. They might not be our spiritual director, but maybe God also speaks through them. Whenever they love you with purity of heart intentions, they speak the truth. Although many times we do not like to listen, to hear, but maybe God is using them, through them, give the lights. If you don't have a happy heart, you say, I'm better than she. I don't more than she. You will not listen. Unless you, maybe God through her, some inspiration for me. If this humility of humble heart, things are different. You have more listening. You don't listen because at times you are proud. I know more than she. Whatever she can tell me. Nothing new. That is so true. God works. So Father Andres has no direct insight. Like Faustina many times from inner voice or seeing Jesus in the chapel, seeing Jesus coming to her. Teresa of Lisieux is coming. You know, she sees so many souls. Our Heavenly Mother is coming to her with the baby Jesus. Priests have this not this grace to see all these things. But God works through all means. So whatever she says today, the main theme is have a humble heart. It's only way that we can have peace of mind and the light of God.